All right, so we couldn't get the picture I wanted to share with you, but let me describe this to you. And maybe you've seen this picture. I've had this one in particular. In fact, I think it's not a JPEG because I scanned it into my computer, and I probably didn't save it as a JPEG. Anyway, as I'm thinking about that, this picture depicts a frog being swallowed by a crane, and the frog has his front legs gripped around the crane's neck. Now you can picture that. Here's the frog in the mouth of this crane, and he's got them front legs gripped around that crane's neck. And the caption is, "Don't ever give up." How many times have you been in a situation like that? This life is difficult, and it is easy sometimes to be discouraged by the things going on in the world around us, and even in those that we are among as Christians. I would encourage you to turn with me to Matthew, the 15th chapter, and I want to share with you a very... in some people's minds would be a very discouraging situation that takes place here between Jesus and a Gentile woman. In Matthew 15, we're going to pick up at verse 21 and then read down through verse 30. It says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried to him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil.' And he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, 'Send her away, for she crieth after us.' But he answered and said, 'I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' Then came she and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' But he answered and said, 'It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs.' And she said, 'Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs from which fall from the master's table.' And then Jesus answered and said unto her, 'O woman, great is your faith. Be it unto you even as thou wilt.' And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And Jesus departed from there and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into the mountain and sat down there. And a great multitude came to him came unto him, having with them those that were lame and blind and dumb and maimed and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them." Like I said, in life there are many things that can be very discouraging. I was just talking with my son, or my oldest son, last night. I spent probably close to an hour on the phone with him. He had just taken a motorcycle ride with his brother, brother that's just younger than he is, not the youngest brother. Took a motorcycle ride down into Kentucky and Tennessee and rode in the mountains and rode the curves that I love so much and so much enjoy. And you know, he was just telling me that he and his brother had a really good trip. They had a good time, but they had a lot of time to talk. And it was good to talk, because they faced some similarities in their lives, some difficulties in their lives. And they were able to talk about those things and to find a good place. Because life is discouraging. It's hard. It's tough. And we talked about Job this morning just a little bit. That ought to tell us, although we may not be in the position of Job, but sometimes our lives are like that frog in the mouth of that crane. You just got to grab on and hold on and not let go. Don't ever give up. Don't quit. Because you don't know what the Lord has in store for you later on if you just get through this moment, through this little bit of time. And you know, really, as you think about it, there isn't any difficulty in life that lasts forever, is there? Most of the difficulties that we face are just for a short period of time. Those things that may be discouraging are just very short-lived. And if we hang on long enough and we squeeze tight enough, we might be able to suffocate that crane so that he coughs us back out. That's what we've got to see. That's what we've got to understand. You know, when you first became a Christian, you may have been full of fire and vim, and you just couldn't wait to do everything that you could possibly do for the Lord. But what about now? You know, things people say can discourage us. Because Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 9 that there's nothing new under the sun. People have been discouraging all through time, and they still are very discouraging. In John 6 and verse 66, it tells us about those that were following Jesus. It said, as a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. There were some things that Jesus said that were hard to understand, hard to comprehend. They were some hard sayings of Jesus there in this passage. And some of them just couldn't handle those things that he was talking about, and so they stopped following him. In Matthew 26 and verse 56, it says that all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Here are those who are closest to him. In his weakest point of time, or in his darkest hour of time, I guess you could say. Jesus needed these individuals, and they deserted him. He was deserted completely. Maybe you felt like that at times. We cannot afford to be discouraged, because our soul is at stake. How do you keep from getting discouraged? What do you do? Well, let's look at this woman, this Gentile woman that Jesus is talking about, or talking with, or is talking to him anyway. She's a Gentile. That's the first thing that's noticeworthy of this passage. There in verses 21 and 22 clearly indicate that he was in the area of Tyre and Sidon, and this Canaanite woman came up to him. And she cried out to him, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Help me. That's what she's crying out, isn't it? Help me. She's got a sick daughter. And she wants the best for her. Who of us does not want the best for our children? She's no different than us, is she? She saw something. She knew something. I think she knew something the Jews, so many of them, didn't know. And there are a lot of people who turn to this passage and say, boy, Jesus is really rude to this woman. He's really mean. Now, I don't think that's what Jesus is doing. Jesus knows things that we don't understand in this situation. Jesus is trying to do two things. He's using, first of all, this woman to show these Jews what faith really is. This woman recognizes him as the son of David. She's talking to him and knowing that he is the Messiah. He's the one the Jews have been looking for. She's a Gentile, but she still knows what they seemingly do not understand. They've just missed it somehow along the way, so many of them. She calls him Lord and Son of David. Note the discouraging things she faced here. At first there in verse 23, he doesn't speak to her. She cries out to him for help for her daughter, but he doesn't even answer. He ignores her. Wow. You ever been ignored by somebody? Or you perceived that you were being ignored by somebody? I remember an individual that I was very close to once upon a time. They've done passed from this life now, but I remember that individual saying one time, well, such and such an individual, they went out of the church building on the other side of the building so they wouldn't have to shake my hand. How in the world do you possibly know that? Did they say something that indicated they didn't want to shake your hand and so they went that way? No, I don't think that had happened. It was a misperception and a discouraging one. Why would we think those kind of things about brothers and sisters in Christ. We ought not to. That's not the way we ought to think about them. We should think the very best of those who are brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus ignores this woman. But she didn't allow that to stop her, does she? We shouldn't allow the fact that we think that somebody's purposely ignoring us to stop us from being what we ought to be. God didn't call me to be what that person was. He called me to be like Jesus Christ, didn't he? And so don't let that person, whether they're doing it on purpose or unintentionally, or not at all, just in my perception, don't let that discourage you. You're to be following Jesus, not that individual anyway. And even then, in verse 23, we see that the disciples are saying, well, send her away. She keeps calling after us. Send her away. She's getting on our minds. Or she's getting on our last nerve, so to speak. But, you know, some people would say she was nagging. I think God calls this perseverance. Doesn't he? He absolutely does. This is perseverance. Think about John 6, verses 66 through 69, where it says, as a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. And Jesus said, therefore, to the 12, do you want to go away also? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Where are we going to go? Where else could we possibly go? This woman understands that very thing. And so many of the Jews had failed to see that this was the place they needed to be. They become discouraged because Jesus says, you've got to eat my body and you've got to drink my blood. And that's kind of gross. And so they were discouraged by that, and they stopped following him. You see the difference in this woman, this Gentile woman, and these Jews? She didn't allow this to discourage her. She didn't allow this. She persevered through these things. And then in verse 24, Jesus says, well, I don't have anything for you. I came to the lost house of Israel. I came to take care of these lost sheep. I don't have anything for you. Think about it. As you read this story, all of her trust is in Jesus. She knows that he can do something about her problem. She knows that he can take care of it. And she's going to stick to it. She wants something from Jesus, and she's going to get it no matter what it takes. And she doesn't care what it takes. She's going to stay there until she gets what she needs. All of her trust is in him, and then he says this to her, I don't have anything for you. Well, if you go back to the attitude of the Jews in John 6, most people had just got up and left. Well, I don't have anything for you. Okay, I'll just go on my way then. No, what does she do? She worships him. This woman is amazing. So many things that would discourage so many of us, she takes them in stride, and here in this situation, she falls down and worships him. And then he has the audacity to at least seemingly call her a dog. Well, what I have is not for the dogs, it's for the children. But her attitude is, yeah, but the dogs even eat what the crumbs that fall from the master's table. The crumbs of heaven are worth everything in life. The crumbs of heaven are worth everything. Think about it. We sing about the mansion over the hill. Lord, I don't need a mansion. Give me a shack and I'll be happy in heaven. Because once I made it to heaven, it doesn't matter about anything else. Isn't that right? If I can just have the crumbs of heaven, that'll be good enough. That's what you see in this woman. Just give me the leftovers of heaven, it'll be worth it. And what happens? Well, look there at verse 28. And Jesus answered and said to her, "Woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Great is her faith. Here's a Gentile woman who has greater faith than the majority of the Jewish nation in the days of Jesus. Why? Because she passed the test. She endured to the end. She did not allow anything that happened to discourage her. She did not become discouraged by anything or any action of Jesus in this. She saw the value of the goal that she had, and she was going to do everything she possibly could to attain that goal. Each one of us, should have the goal of going to heaven. And we need to have the attitude of this woman in attaining that and not allow anything in life to discourage us from attaining that goal of heaven. Nothing in this life was going to stop her. Nothing in this life should we allow to stop us in receiving from the Lord what He has promised to those who are faithful. What is the value we have on our soul? Think about it. Let's just put some applications out here. How do we act when someone says something to us that we perceive as rude? Maybe we don't like the way it sounded. And I'll tell you what. I would be the very first to confess fully and completely that sometimes I say things and how it comes out may not exactly be the way I intended for it to come out. Ask Cheryl. I was asking, I think it was yesterday afternoon, we came home from Papillion Days, yeah. And she got out. It was afternoon, and so we hadn't had any lunch, and so she got out a yogurt and was going to have that. And I said, didn't you have one of those this morning? And she says, "What do you mean? I can't have one now?" No, I'm just curious. Yeah, I didn't mean anything by it. Yeah, sometimes we need to realize that. We really need to think about what we're saying. And how we're saying it. And sometimes we don't. And somebody may be saying something to me and they don't intend at all to be rude, but the way it comes out or how their, maybe it's just their facial expression. Well, this is the way. Did you see the way she turned her nose up as she said that to me? I don't know. Sometimes you just don't look and let that person talk to you, and then maybe you'll miss that facial expression that discourages you. Maybe they were just simply joking. I must confess, I like to joke around a little bit. And I was joking around one time. And I called a particular member of my family, the black sheep of the family. Just joking, just carrying on, being silly. I had to go 10 hours in driving. Sit down with this person and tell them I was sorry. And in my mind, I'm thinking this is just a joke. It's nothing funny about it. Or it's just funny. I'm just having a fun time here. I was talking about these kind of things or saying similar things like this to everybody else. Just being a silly fool. But that's not how this person took it. We need to realize that. Some people you can joke with, and there's just some people you can't. I remember a woman who liked to joke with you and send you funny cards, but she didn't take it as well as she gave it. You got to learn those kind of things about people. Don't allow this to discourage you. You can't allow these kind of things to discourage you. Do we allow what or how someone is saying something to discourage us when we don't know the reason or even if there is a reason for that? I was told a long time ago, when I was but a lad, that you cannot wear your feelings on your shoulder, because somebody is going to come and knock them off. You've got to be a little tough-skinned at times. And although I'm a little more tough-skinned than some, I still have soft spots. And sometimes people stick a little jab in there and it hurts. But we cannot allow those things in our lives to stop us from being the kind of people that God calls us to be. We cannot allow that to discourage us. We can overcome it. Just like this woman. She had her goal set. She knew who could give it, and she was going to get it from him. We have a goal of going to heaven, and we know who has that, and we can get it, but we must continue to follow him in order to have it. How do we act when someone does something that we perceive as avoiding us? When we think someone's going out of the building in a way that is to avoid us, or someone deliberately is not speaking to me. Do we allow that behavior of someone to discourage us when we don't know the reason for their behavior? Maybe they needed to get out of the building quickly because they had a pot roast on the stove and they were afraid it was going to burn because the preacher preached too long. I mean, that's happened. It's happened. You know, we really, unless that person has told you that, we shouldn't just assume it. Because assuming makes a fool out of you and me. Absolutely does. Makes a fool out of the both of us. You know, there are a lot of things that are reacted to because of the way that we perceive them, and then we let those things discourage us and hold us back. You see, we need to stop reacting and start acting like Christ. That's what we need to do. You want to overcome discouragement? In those times when you've got your hands around the crane's neck and you think he's going to swallow you, but as long as you've got a tight hold on it, maybe you can get him to pass out. You've got to keep on holding on. Don't give up. Don't quit. What was I told when I was a kid? Quitters never win. Quitters never win. In the story of life, quitters never get to heaven. And if I allow, look at this woman. Look at all of the reasons that she could have said, that's enough. She didn't. Because her eye was on the goal. And if I'm going to overcome the discouragement of this life, and even of sometimes my brethren, I'm going to have to keep my eye on the goal of going to heaven, and I need to act Christ-like. We are so easily stirred to react to things. You see, reaction, we just go with it. When you determine to act, you have to think before you move. Thinking always helps in every situation. Not all things will work out the way that we want them to. Things sometimes don't work out the way we expected them to. I did not expect to be in 2018 to be in Nebraska, or in fact in Omaha, Nebraska, USA. I really expected to be somewhere in Illinois, probably southern Illinois or somewhere in the southern area of the world, enjoying life with a wife of over 40 years. But that all changed. But there are a lot of things that happened because of that. Because of that thing that changed my life, there have been a lot of other things that have happened as well. And as discouraging as that situation that brought me to Omaha, Nebraska was, look what God has done because of that. You see, we can't see what God's doing. And we don't know. How do you know that this situation that seems discouraging to you at this moment may be the very thing that is going to encourage 10, 15, or 20, or 100 people later on? You just don't know that. And so don't quit. Keep your eye on the goal. Don't take your eye off the goal or you'll miss it. I like shooting a bow. I haven't shot a bow in a long time. I haven't shot a rifle in a long time. Come to Nebraska and I can't even get a gun out anymore. But I like doing that, and I'm a pretty fair marksman. Although I'm getting more blind all the time, I'm a pretty fair marksman. That was a lot of fun. My sons and I and some of the grandsons would go out into the woods in Illinois, and we would go and do what we call blowing up the woods. We'd just go out there and we'd blow up anything and everything we could possibly shoot at. We'd take a few things with us to shoot at just so we could blow them up. But you can't hit that target. You can't hit that thing you're wanting to blow up unless you look at it. And you keep your eye on it. You can't go like this and then close your eyes and plan to hit it. You can't do this and plan to hit that's out here. It just doesn't work that way. You've got to keep your eye on the goal. We may face many difficult situations, but we must see that that's a part of life. And it may be the part of life that's going to make us stronger. It may be the part of life that helps us to help someone else to overcome the difficulties that they're facing in life. We must not let discouragement stop us from doing the will of God. We should never take our eyes off the goal of heaven. Is your life right with God tonight? Are you a Christian? Are you a part of the body of Christ? If you're not, you have an opportunity tonight to become a child of God. Think about that. To become a child of God. How wonderful. How amazing is that very idea? I can be a son of God. All I have to do is believe what He has revealed in the New Testament. Obey those things. Be immersed in water for the remission of my sins. And I can start a new path in life. Everything that I failed to do correctly in the past is gone and forgiven forever. I'm clean and white. I am pure before the God of heaven right at that moment. I've started a new path. Maybe you've done that, but somewhere along the line, something has discouraged you, caused you to take your eye off the goal, and you need to get back on the path. We're here to help you do that as well. Whatever you need tonight to be right with God, we would encourage you to do it. Put your eye back on the goal and head to heaven. Don't allow the things of this world to discourage you. God's using them to make you stronger. Let them make you stronger. Won't you come as we stand and sing?